Now, what happens at Mass that is so extraordinary? Well, the answer is so simple. Imagine that you are in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It's the feast of Passover for the Jews. You're caught up in the flood of pilgrims who are rushing toward the center of the town. You hear the cry of the lamb that are being sacrificed for the Passover. All of Israel has come on a pilgrimage. Many Jews from Egypt, Syria, Rome, the whole of the Mediterranean, because today is the first day of the Feast of Passover. And Jesus also has gone up to Jerusalem with his mother and his disciples. It is now the hour when Jesus will be sacrificed. We are now in the outskirts of Jerusalem and getting close to a gate leading into the city. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And near that gate, outside the city walls, three crucified men are dying. The one in the middle looks like the Son of God. A woman is standing at the foot of the cross. She's the man's mother. And the man on the cross is Jesus, that famous prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The one who's done so many miracles, healed so many sick, who has multiplied the loaves and the fishes. It's he who gave bread to the poor, made the lame walk, and set the paralyzed to leaping about. Yes, he's the one, the prophet from Nazareth. But what is he doing there, nailed on this cross, nailed on the wood as an accursed criminal? Why have they crucified him? That's unbelievable. But yes, it's Jesus who is giving up his life. Through his wounds and his cross, he's setting us free from death and giving us life. It is Jesus who is offered up as an holocaust. The Lamb of God, who through his sacrifice, through his immolation, washes us clean from our sins. For only the blood of a God could wash us clean from our sins and open us the gates of heaven and bring us into eternal life. No longer can the blood of rams or goats save us. No, it's the blood of the Son of God. So Jesus is on the cross. He's giving his life for us. Then I get closer and I listen. I hear, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." I stay with that woman who is looking at her son with such love, such adoration. Between two gasps for breath, I hear Jesus say to one of the crucified thieves, "Amen, amen, I say to you today, this very day you'll be with me in paradise." Yes, it is Jesus of Nazareth dying there. He's dying. But he turns to a young man and says, "Behold your mother." But then with his last breath, he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now he bows his head. He's dead. He who did so much good, healed so many sick. He's dead. The centurion goes up to him and pierce his side with a spear. Now blood and water are flowing from him. Suddenly the centurion's eyes open, and he says, "Truly this was the Son of God." Then Joseph of Arimathea arrives and takes Jesus down from the cross. He gives him back to his mother. The mother takes in her arms the body of the living God who is dead. She embraces him, cleans his wounds, kisses the marks of the nails with veneration. She's weeping, but also she has hope. She hopes because she knows. He himself said that he would rise from the dead. "He will go before us into Galilee," he said. She knows that he will rise again, but she weeps because her motherly heart is torn in two. Jesus is placed now in the tomb, and the third day he will rise again. That is it. During Mass, I am in Jerusalem with Jesus, and I know that the events which occurred there have allowed me to enter life. And today, as I find myself in that small, tiny little church with a dirty floor, maybe full of cobwebs, freezing cold, for they can't afford to heat it, the priest is going to say a lightning fast mass, a 20-minute mass. Here I am alone in the church because it's raining outside and no one wanted to go out. I can't help thinking, is this Jerusalem? Look, the flowers are wilted, the candles are going out, the crucifix has not been polished, the priest is old and tired, and there won't be any singing. This mass seems to be really zero. No one really cares. But can a mass be nothing? Can a mass be zero? Can a single mass be a failure when the altar is Golgotha and when the invited one is the crucified Lamb of God? Can this little mass from this tiny little parish be a failure? Is Jesus a failure who comes alive on the altar? No! This little mass of my remote parish, of my little spot, even if it's done quickly, is Golgotha again. Again Jesus is living Golgotha there. Again Jesus is living his passion. This is not a story that I'm told which belongs to the past. No, it is Jesus who comes again to live his passion and endure his death and rise again. The entire mystery of redemption is being accomplished again, here, before my eyes. It's not a remake, as they say in the film industry. It's not a remake. It's as if Jesus lived the mystery of redemption for the first time and for me. It's real. And the celebration of this Mass today in my remote little place is unique in history. And Mary is here with me and she tells us, dear children, when you adore my son, she means alive in the tabernacle, in the host, in the Blessed Sacrament, when you adore my son, I am with you and I pray with you. You know, at each and every Mass we have Mary, alive, real, praying with us. Have you ever thought of that? Only our eyes do not see her, but she's here with the angels also, and some saints like St. Gertrude, St. Catherine of Siena, the Cure of Ars, or our dear Mart Robin, would actually see the heavenly church assembled around the altar. That was a special gift of them. How splendid! And what a celebration! And our guardian angels are there too, near the altar, with the archangel, St. Michael, the seraphim, the cherubim, the throne and dominions, and so on. The 9 choirs of angels are there, each one having his own role. Some of them are bringing the holy species, bread and wine, while others incense the church, and all are pulsing with celestial music. They move around in great joy. You know, if our ears could open to the celestial songs that are present at every Mass, even those that are quick, by the way, we would realize how extraordinary the liturgy is. And if we do not see, it's because we are unconscious. But this is real. They all are there. How about the members of my family who are in heaven? They too are here with us. And they joyfully concelebrate right here in my poor little parish because we are all the body of Christ and we are celebrating the redemption together. You know what is the most beautiful Mass of my life? It's precisely this one today in this little church. It is this little 20-minute Mass with these drooping flowers from last week. Yes, it is the most beautiful one because it is the one today. The most beautiful Mass is always the one of today, because grace is given to me only today. Imagine you tell a lover, yesterday you saw your beloved and tomorrow you will see her. He will not be satisfied because it is today that he wants to see her. Yes, the most beautiful Mass of my life is the one today, because I just cannot wait until tomorrow to be united with my Lord. This is what Mass is. And here we have the most extraordinary event of the day. Then, what is my meal, my lunch, my job, my little walk, my little pets, my little money, in comparison with the mystery of redemption into which I'm going to dive? How important can be my little TV show today in comparison with the mystery in which I'm taking part and through which I'll be filled to the point at which I'll become myself a living mass. Listen what Mark Robin used to say. Every Christian life in this world is a mass, and every soul is a host. You know, we bear within ourselves, invisibly, this mystery of the redemption. I do not need to understand it with my mind, with my intelligence. The Mass is not reserved to good theologians only. Holy Mass is for every man of goodwill who wants to go up to the altar in order to meet the living God and offer himself to the Father along with Jesus. You know what is so extraordinary during Mass? Is that Jesus who comes alive actually comes to Golgotha again. He comes to offer himself to the Father with all that he is. He presents his wounds to the Father. And it is thanks to this offering of the Son that the Father can shower graces down upon us, that he can give the Holy Spirit, that he can grant healing, salvation, and all the riches heaven contains. This is why Holy Mass is the greatest treasure chest of graces that we can open on the world.